Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, a group of teens encounter a strange man while exploring a cemetery late in the night.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802, the phone number to call in and share your real ghost story. Or on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want access to quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, we got it for you. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. You'll get brand new EPP bonus episodes every single week. Access to our complete archive, like I said, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. You get our ebook, our audiobook, and so many other things too. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get hooked up with all that. It's Tony and Carol on today's episode. What's going on in your world?
Well, Tony, not too much.
Nothing at all. Nothing exciting.
No, nothing I'm going to tell the whole wide world about anyway.
To ping pong back at me with.
All I want to do is just bitch all day long, but I'm not going to. I'm not.
Deep breath and everything will be good. Yes. Inhale.
Yeah, as we've said multiple times, Tony and I always talk for 30, 45 minutes before we dive in.
Yeah.
And today was my date event.
It was.
Thank you for listening.
Hey, not a problem at all.
I'm just telling you, when your parents get older and there's a stroke, or in my case, hers, not mine, although I feel like I'm having one. But, you know, it's just a lot when you have a loved one who's going through stuff. It's
sure.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff. So thank you for listening to me just venting about all of the shit goes with it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to let it out. It's kind of nice when it's just one of us that has like a load of shit to unload at one of these nights, because when it's both of us, it's like, oh, it's 10 o'clock and we haven't started recording yet.
And I get up really early in the morning. There's been more than one night. We finish up like 11:30 and I'm like, oh, well.
And so it's kind of nice. It kind of works out that way. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to our first story. It says, I happened upon your podcast just yesterday, which actually was October 25th. And I'm hooked. I have so many experiences to share. So expect me to bombard you within the following weeks. Also, sorry for all the grammatical mistakes I'll be making. The writing was never my forte. I've always believed in ghosts, but I feel myself becoming somewhat of a skeptic recently. I started therapy, and now I'm questioning what I experienced. Was it supernatural, paranormal, or was it how my child brain processed and coped with my abusive household? Most of my experiences happened throughout my childhood and into my early teenage years. I moved out when I was 19, and then the encounters dwindled down exponentially. So for now, I only stick to the encounters where there was another person there to witness or experience it. This encounter happened when I was in my late teens. The guy that I was dating at the time and I decided to go hang out at Hillside Cemetery in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, where Jerry Ramone is buried. We mostly went there to just relax, just watch the New York skyline while making sure to be respectful to the dead. It was around 2 or 3 in the morning when we decided to head out. We'd sneaked into the cemetery through a hole in the chain link fence to the side of the cemetery. We're making our way back when we saw him. The night was clear and the moon was still out, so the area was lit up. There was a man walking about 70 feet in front of us. We contemplated running, thinking it was a cop or security, but realized that they saw us, so there was no point. We continued to head for the hole in the fence. The man grew nearer and nearer, and the moon was behind him, so all we saw was a silhouette. No defining features, just a dark outline. We got closer to the man, and that's when we noticed more details and realized that he was wearing a hat and weird-looking pants. We're about 20 feet from each other. The hat was a cowboy hat. The weird pants, chaps. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a cowboy in the middle of a cemetery, in the middle of Jersey, in the middle of the night. My friend and I stopped within 10 feet of him, and the cowboy goes in the southern accent, "Y'all know if the gate is down there open?" Cowboy was talking about the main gate. I can't remember if it was my friend or that he responded with, "Yeah." Cowboy tipped his hat while saying, "You two have a nice night now," and walked away. My friend and I were frozen in silence. We could hear the cowboy walking away and his spurs hitting the gravel. Yes, spurs. We stayed long enough to hear the sound of the gate fade away. Jeez, I can still hear as I write this, and I'm now 35. My friend breaks the silence by saying, "You know they might not even exist anymore." And then we sprinted to the hole in the fence. I've Googled to see if Jersey had any cowboys or if anyone else had a similar experience, but nothing. Could have been my psyche because my friend was there and we saw exactly what we saw the same thing together. Anyhow, this one of many. Hope you all enjoyed my small tale. Have a good week. Cowboy in the middle of the cemetery in Jersey. Ghost or just really interesting human being?
I don't know, but wouldn't it be funny if one time we got a letter or a call that was like, "I was in a cemetery and I just left the rodeo in New Jersey and I saw the ghost of these two kids." So I didn't know what to say to it. I'm like, "Is the gate open?"
I thought it might have been I looked it up and I was trying to look for children of that age that died but didn't find anything.
I mean, maybe. You know, and it's hard to tell because it's like, you know, I remember one time, this has nothing to do with anything, but I was late at night and I'm in the car waiting for my friends who ran into a convenience store and this guy walked in without any pants on, like literally not underwear, like his thingy was just hanging out. And I'm like, "Oh my God, a guy walked in there without any pants on." And so my friends come out and they get in the car. I'm like, "There's that guy in there with no pants on." And they're like, "Where?" And everybody's really, and like nobody's noticing this guy doesn't have pants on. So he walks out and his penis is all hanging out. And he sees us looking at him. And I'm like, "Oh my God, that's him." Well, of course it was because he didn't have any pants on. And I'm like, "Go, go, let's go." And so I drive off and the guy gets in his car and starts following me.
Oh, God.
Nobody else in the store saw the guy without pants on. Did we really see a guy without pants on?
What happened when did he eventually lose you?
We eventually lost him.
Oh, you lost him. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the same thing.
Same way. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah. He chased us for about 15 minutes. And so then my plan was, you know, I tried a couple of escape maneuvers and then I was going to drive to a police substation.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's 3 a.m. and there's a guy with no pants on that's been following us. I don't know how that's going to go over.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that guy, like nobody else saw him, just us. So was he really there? I don't know.
I would think so. I mean, 3 a.m, maybe at the gas station, a lot of drunk people kind of in there getting their pretzels and taquitos and Slurpees and just not noticing, or I don't know.
And maybe the guy had been at, you know, some cowboy party and it was like, "Dress up like your favorite cowboy." I don't know. And, you know, some gay men like chaps. Maybe he was a gay guy who just left some cowboy party. I don't know.
And he left his chaps and he was like, "Oh, shit. Forgot those.
I'm going to."
But I really got to stop.
Yeah, and he's like, "I'm going to turn them all on with my stirrups.
But I got to get in here to the 7-Eleven." So, yeah. Wow.
So I don't know. You know, but when you are in a cemetery, well, first off, let's back up. When it's late at night and you decide to crawl through the fence into a cemetery, number one, bad idea. But when you're a teenager, things like that sound like good ideas. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, the odds of seeing a cowboy walking along like that, I think would be pretty slim.
Yeah, I think the odds are probably not good. Now, could you run into some things there and people in the cemetery that you don't want to run into? Yeah, I think your odds are pretty good on that. But cowboy man? That just seems a little, I don't know, a little bizarre.
And there was a hole in the fence. Maybe cowboy guy got in the same way.
Yeah.
And he was there, you know, visiting one of his dead cowboy friends. I don't know.
It could be.
But I don't know. That's one that makes a great story, but I don't think you'll ever know.
It's one that you'll always wonder about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, "Hey guys, just left you a ghost story message. This took place right before Halloween in 2010, 27th or 28th. This happened in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, just north of Detroit. I came home from a long day of work and saw a translucent orb about the shape of a football hovering right in front of my fireplace. I shot straight up from the couch. My hair was standing on end. I was frozen in fear. I could not believe what I was seeing. As I stood up, this large orb slowly moved the floor and went up the wall about 3/4 to the ceiling, and reversed down to the floor in the same path of travel. The orb proceeded to move around my TV stand and vanish down the hallway, and vanish in a vapor trail down my hall. I was scared shitless. I started shouting, "Leave this house now! In the name of the Lord, you are not welcome here." I convinced myself I did not see this. Well, at some point, I talked to my girlfriend, now my wife, and she told me she was out with my sister-in-law and was going to stop by. So I left my front door unlocked, fell asleep with a blanket covering me. My girlfriend comes in, plops down on the couch, wakes up, and I totally forget this incident happened. I make dinner, cleaning dishes in the kitchen. My girlfriend is in the kitchen facing the hallway and say to me, "Something white just streaked down the hall." I just dropped my plate in the sink and said, "What the fuck did you just see?" She's looked at me really scared. I told her to please tell me what you saw exactly. And then I proceeded to tell what occurred earlier in the evening. She was in shock, to say the least. My buddy and his wife owned the home, and his wife had seen what she refers to as the man shadow figure. My ex-girlfriend was renting the home for a few years with her teenage daughter. One time she called me in the middle of the night, freaking out, screaming that something sat on the bed and touched her. Crazy. There was a time all the folded towels were thrown around. I did not see that, but fast forward when I was living there by myself, there were times when I was half asleep upstairs. I could hear conversations going on real faint, like in a party setting. Then occasionally, I'd hear someone or something whisper my name in my ear. Crazy. I'm wondering if the house might be a portal of some sort. That's my crazy story. I love the show. Turn my neighbor on to the show. Hope to hear from you guys. I have some pictures we took. We had a party, and it would appear there are lots of orbs in the pictures. I'll have to find them and send them in. Thanks, Andy. Thoughts on Andy's stories?
Andy's got a good story.
Yeah.
Like, in a creepy sort of way. Like, in the fact that they both saw, like, he didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she saw that. Yeah.
I think, yeah, when you kind of have that confirmation, it certainly helps. Otherwise, you do kind of sit there and wonder, did I just see that?
Yeah. And then it turned into a cowboy.
That part I admitted. I just thought it'd be far too coincidental. But no.
No, I have no question that that house is haunted.
Yeah, it certainly is. Thank you for sharing that.
That's creepy.
855-853-4802, the phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, everybody. It's Summer in Buffalo. I haven't called in a while, but I do have, a lot has happened since I last called in. My oldest daughter, due to losing her job because of COVID and stuff. She was a server in hospitality. So she ended up moving in with her daughter and her dog. And there's, with my daughter being kind of hypersensitive like I am, it's a lot of things have been happening to the both of us since that happened. We'll start with the hearing things that aren't there. I was sitting in the living room and, my daughter was in the front room, and the way that our house is set up is because it's a 200-year-old house. It's very Frankenstein that way with the additions that were put on, because there were two additions, one in the front and one in the back. As a result, the sound doesn't carry very well because you have to go through small doorways to get to each section of the house. So I was on one end of the house and she was on the other end of the house, and I'm sitting in the living room and all of a sudden I hear her say, Mom, can you help me? And I went, sure, Anna, what do you need? And I got no answer. So I get up and I go to her room, which is in the front, and I said, what did you need? She goes, I didn't call you. I didn't say anything. I went, you didn't just say to me, Mom, I need your help. Can you come here? And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay. So because of that conversation, she told me that there was one time when the bathroom is right off the kitchen. Okay. And she said, while she was in the bathroom, she was helping her daughter, and the door was shut. I was in the kitchen, okay? I was about 10 feet away. It's about, not, you know, maybe 5-10 feet. And she says, oh, what do you need, Mom? And I went, what do you mean, what do I need? She goes, didn't you just say, Anna, I need your help? Like, every time that this happens, and I told her, I said, no, there was no, that didn't occur. So she told me that story after I told her about mine. And it's just, this has happened on many occasions where we'll hear the voice of the person that, you know, we think is calling us. It'll sound just like them. Like, I could have sworn it was my daughter's voice. And in that instance, and I don't know if you've ever played the other calls that I've sent in, where my other daughter, my younger daughter, who's 8, she called me from upstairs. She wasn't, you know, she didn't do that. And she had said she didn't do that. I mean, I can't, either way, it's, so that is definitely something that's happened. Another story from my daughter, she, of course, has her dog with her in the house. And she, when she takes the dog outside, she said there was one night that she went outside. Now, our home is at the top of a hill, and the rest of our property is straight down the hill, and then it goes out for about 5 acres, okay? So at night, it's obviously pitch black. You can't see anything. She had taken her dog, Leia, out, who's super timid, super... She kind of like spooks at the slightest noise. And she took her out to go to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden she saw a black mass at the bottom of the hill. And she heard growling. And the dog was reacting to that and looking over at that and started, you know, her hair started to kind of like perk up on the back of her. And she said she ran to the house. And she, as soon as she got to the door, it sounded like the growl was in her ear. And then she ran to the house and slammed the door. So there was that. And then the second thing that happened, and I've only mentioned this before, I don't know if I've called it in, is that there's the staircase, which is super steep because it's an old house that's right off the living room that goes upstairs. And I personally have been sitting there, and I look over and I'll see, there was one time where there was like a white wisp of, it looked like an arm that was kind of like if someone, like a little girl was walking down the stairs and you see like an arm kind of like touch the wall as they're going down, they kind of hold their arm out. But all I saw was the arm, and then it disappeared as it was doing that. And I always kind of get the feeling like someone is sitting there and is just like watching or just sitting in that spot. And I dismissed it. I just kind of said, oh, my, you know, my brain is playing tricks on me. But then we were sitting in the living room, and my older daughter, she looks at me and she goes, Mom. I said, what? She goes, is there somebody sitting on the stairs? And my stomach dropped right out. And I went, why do you say that? I had never told her about the girl that I had seen or anything that I had seen on the stairs. Little girl. That's the vibe I get from that. And she goes, it looks like there's a little girl sitting on the stairs. And I went, shut up. I said, I never told you this, but I always get the feeling that there's somebody sitting on the stairs and they're always watching us. But I kind of dismissed it as I was being crazy. Nope. Exact same experience as me, exact same issue. Oh, it's kind of insane. Again, I will say I don't get an evil vibe in this house. Like, there's been no, like, it's a super comfortable house. It's very welcoming. And I've had stories before where, like, I've been helped by, you know, the entities. I don't know if you've ever played my missing keys story, but so far, other than the growl thing that my daughter experienced outside, everything has been just normal. I don't want to say normal for us kind of experiences. But anyway, I wanted to share all that with you and give you an update. I'm sure if anything else happens, I'll call back and I'll update you. But that's the most recent. So we have a house full of kids. It's just crazy. And of course, with COVID, we're all at home. My husband and I both work from home. So there's a lot of energy in this house, lots of energy between dogs and kids and everything else. So there's a lot of new things that are happening. Anyway, I'll update you. You guys still doing a great job. Love listening. Keep up the good work. And I hope everybody has a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Thoughts?
Well, you know, a lot, because I kind of did have to laugh at the end when she said something about it being normal. I'm like, nothing like that is normal about the time. Normal for who?
Yeah.
You know, but what I was thinking about, number one, is like, I think it would be interesting calling in and telling a story when you're in the house that, you know, and that has to happen all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, people are currently in the house that's scaring them.
Yeah.
But like the things that she shared would really scare me. Like hearing my daughter speaking and my daughter didn't say anything, or like seeing an arm or a child, like that shit would scare me.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting that she doesn't find it threatening, except for the growl thing. Anything that's growling is not friendly.
The growl is the part that makes me go, I don't know how bad
but
this
if,
thing is.
If it, so, okay, so the inside of the house, maybe not so threatening, and whatever the bad stuff is outside of the house.
Yes, possibly.
You know, and it doesn't breach this, and this doesn't breach that. I don't know. But it seems like if it can come right up to the, you know, right mm-hmm. to your house, it could go in your house.
I would guess
that, I don't want to freak her out or anything like
that. I would guess that there's a level here of that there's something at the house, certainly, maybe probably a couple things at the house. But I'd also guess that she's a bit sensitive, too, where maybe she's, you know, the average person that's not super sensitive may not be picking up on all these things.
And her daughter.
Yeah. But it's that much louder to them, you know, in terms of sensitivity, that it's that much more apparent than others to be picking up on all these different things in all these different areas of the property.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
But I just find it interesting that you could have some sort of presence that you've seen it, you've heard it, but I just think I would still find that scary.
I would too. I would very much. But I
find it very fascinating that someone like her, and she currently lives there, doesn't feel threatened by it, calling from the house. I just find that very interesting.
It's become the norm for her. It's just kind of, it's day in, day out. That's what happens.
And she's right, too. You know, if there's kids, there's dogs, there's all kinds of, you know, in people in and out and busyness going on in the house. You know, some of it might not be super apparent because there's so much going on in her house.
Yeah.
But it's just I'm fascinated by people like that.
I am, too. Thank you, Summer in Buffalo, for sharing that with us. Always appreciate your calls. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another one. Hi, what's your story?
Hi, Tony. My name is Kay. I'm from Detroit. I want to tell you my story. So, growing up, I never really had an experience besides the time I was around 4 years old. Everyone in the house was asleep. And I just had a feeling to go to the living room. In the living room was a big, window. It didn't have any curtain on it. And as I went to the window, I saw someone standing outside on the front lawn. And he had a trench coat and he had on a top hat. And I love scary movies, so I thought it was just creepy at the time. So, you know, I screamed, I woke everyone in the house up, and that was it. That was the only time I had it. So, years later, my mother had passed away. I was around 11. I haven't had any experiences. My brother passed away before her, and I will always have nightmares around 13 through about 17. And my nightmares have stopped. So they do the gun violence. And You know, as I got older, I kind of realized that maybe it was him trying to connect with me, and I don't know what to make of it. But when I was around 18, I was on my way home from school, and I was talking directly up into the sky, asking my mother for advice, asking her for judgment, asking her for the right things in life, and so on and so forth. And around 2 weeks later, I had ended up getting really sick. I had to go to the hospital. When I came out the hospital, before I went to the hospital, I had a dream about her funeral, and it was more massive than the one that we had for her years before. And it was with a lot of people I didn't know, and the whole dream was just crazy. Someone told me that she was alive and she wasn't, dead. So I just, I couldn't believe it. So I went up to go get her. I hugged her, and as I woke up, I woke up after I went to go get her. I woke up, and I felt someone hug me, and I was crying when I woke up. So I went to my sister's house. She stayed down the street. I went to my sister's house, and I had to catch public transportation. So as I'm on the bus on the way to my sister's house, I felt someone touch my arm, and I just cried all over again. And that was the end of it. I knew it was her because I really was stressed. I was stressed out. I was hurt. And I didn't know what to do with my life. So years later, I just got my own apartment about last year. And about 2 months ago, I was sitting on the bed, and I felt someone touch me. So I didn't know what it was. I started crying, but I knew it was her, so I started crying. I was stressed out at the time. So I contacted a psychic on the internet, and they basically told me that my mother was with me with a light breeze, and that's exactly what I felt on my shoulder, and they told me exactly which shoulder it was on. And I just couldn't believe it because I was just so stressed out. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought I was going to lose my apartment. And my mother came to me and let me know everything was going to be all right. I don't know what to make of it. My boyfriend, he doesn't believe me. But I can feel his emotions. Whenever he's sad or angry or talking to me, and he's sad and angry, I feel his emotions, and he doesn't show much emotion. So I feel his emotions when he talks to me about certain things. And I let him know that, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad, cry. And I really don't know what to make of it. I'm really superstitious, and I know a lot of things. I know when good's coming, when bad's coming. I read into the universe a lot. So if you can give me any kind of explanation for any of this, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
What are your thoughts?
First off, that made me all emotional, as you might have guessed. Mm-hmm. But I'm really sorry that she lost her mom and her brother like that. Sure. Like, that broke my heart. She's so young, and to have to go through all of that, that's just too much. It's too much at any age. But when you're so young in your formative years, and that broke my heart. But I 100% believe that's her mother. 100% believe that.
Yeah.
And because when my dad died, my dad was very, he had a lot of problems in his life. Some pretty deep, dark issues. Mm-hmm. And he had alcohol. He was alcoholic. You know, he just had a lot of things.
Sure.
But after he died, there have been times, and I've said this before about him, there have been times I felt him beside me more, just as strongly as when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I totally get what she's saying. And there's been so many times that, especially, you know, in the 5-10 years after he died, that just, you know, going through a dark time myself, and you know, I really needed my dad.
Yeah.
And it would be weird, I would feel him, there's more than once I just stopped and I'm like, I know you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never like I did feel him touch me once on the back of my neck. But so I get that. And I think that that bond between a parent and a child is so strong, especially when the mom leaves the child, you know, as a child,
mm-hmm.
that I just truly believe that her mom's with her all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I can't tell you how many nights I sat in the dark, especially in the couple years after my dad died, just talking to my dad or journaling to my dad and just, you know, because you miss him so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that just made me emotional. And then her boyfriend, who likes to, and I can get that too, because I pick up on people's energy, but she might be good for him and help him, you know, be able to open up more, because that's hard if you don't feel like you can open up and express your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That tends to kind of eat at you.
Oh, sure. It's extremely
unhealthy.
So maybe
she can, yeah, maybe she can help him with that. She might just be the right kind of person for a guy like him.
Yeah, where it just fits right.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Personality wise.
Yeah, that was, you know, I just, you know, when she things got dark and she needed her mom, I think her mom was there.
I did too. Thank you for sharing that story with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, hey, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person. An EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to our bonus episodes and the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. You get all that there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.